Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Did you happen to see, Matt, the flagrant foul on Matt Davison of... Matt Davison committed in the Iowa game last night?
That I did not see.
It was a shot to the... Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Oh, all right.
You got a flagrant for that. And guess what? You should always get a flagrant for that. In that game, though, this one, Tucson is one of the really nice freshmen in this league. When I saw him at the Palestra, Dick and I looked at each other and said, boy, this guy can play. Well, last night, big-time play with about a minute 25 to go. Gary Dolphin with the call.
As the Hawkeyes reset.
Frederick is so good from the three. Two defenders from the Badgers came out to contest.
Toussaint, seven to shoot. Into the paint. Shot up. Good and a foul. Tie game.
That was Brandon Gowton, actually, with the call on BTN last night. And Tucson with a big bucket. Iowa on a 23-5 run to close the game and rally and beat Wisconsin at home 68-62. Again, Iowa is a high-powered team that likes to score 80. And again, Wisconsin gets into one of those games where getting to 70 is so hard to do. But they won 68-62. Iowa's been playing terrific basketball. Really, really well. Penn State has not played in a week. The Nittany Lions will take on Indiana tomorrow night. And with that, I say long time no see Patrick Chambers.
Can I just see a couple minutes? I think you were there in body because I was so entrenched into the practice.
Yeah.
I knew I saw your figure standing right there. Just trying to keep him going in the right direction there, buddy.
Yeah, no question. Part of that, though, is in a position of leadership, there are sometimes some very, very difficult things that you have to deal with. It doesn't matter how many Philadelphia guys you have. Kobe Bryant crossed lines all over the place. What kind of conversation was it just to make sure your guys had their heads on straight, because it obviously had to be difficult for anybody because a lot of these guys grew up watching him play?
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult for me. You're 49, and sometimes we travel a little different than most. And, you know, we just were out recruiting in that region and left the same airport. So it was a little, you know, you're taken back a little bit. And I said this in a press conference yesterday. It's a shame that tragedy has to remind us that what's important, you know, it's about faith and family and friends. And it's a shame that something like Kobe, you know, in this helicopter crash, it just reminds you of, you know, what's important, what's near and dear to the heart. And I talk to our guys about that. You know, throughout the year, I have a quote in a practice facility from Kobe, you know, up on the wall about goals and habits, right? I've also watched Kobe in high school, just so everybody out there knows. Back in the day, Lower Merion, Marple Newtown, my brother Paul was an assistant coach. I was in the stands watching him as a youngster, and I used all this video. He's got great video cuts, great quotes, obviously. And the thing I loved about him was he did it his way, a little bit of it. Frank Sinatra here, he did it his way.
Yep.
He didn't fall prey to this, you know, the media world. He really didn't have social media until towards the end of his career, which probably helped him, by the way.
Right.
But there was a guy who was determined, and there was a guy who didn't let any outside influence affect what he was striving for. And as a head coach and as a leader, so much you can learn from him. And then I talked to our guys because I was talking to Lamar about Mamba mentality since he arrived, but really specifically this fall. And it's just crazy how I've talked about him more than ever in quotes and videos and all that. with Lamar and with the team. And they were definitely taken back. They were definitely shaken. But it also puts a lot of things in perspective.
No question. You had the weekend off, sort of. How important was it to put together, bring officials in and scrimmage the way you did on Saturday just to keep things sharp?
Yeah, because you know what? We were playing good basketball. Played really well versus Ohio State. Played well enough on the road at Michigan. I thought we could have done some things a little bit better, like taking care of the basketball. But we played well enough. So we were in a good rhythm, good groove, and then you kind of that halts for a second. So you want to keep that edge. You want to keep that competitive fire, and you don't want to lose that momentum. Momentum is so important, especially the way the league is today. So I felt like having a scrimmage. We did a cleanup day Friday. We off Thursday, cleanup day Friday, which means execution, 5-on-0 shots.
Right.
You know, just closeouts, all the little basics and the fundamentals of the game of basketball. Let's revisit it. Let's make sure we got it down pat. Saturday was all about scrimmaging, having officials out there, everybody playing plus 20 minutes to stay in, you know, stay conditioned. Keep that edge, keep that fire. I thought it was valuable. I thought it was really valuable because there were some bad calls. How do we react to it? Against Michigan and Ohio State, we didn't let it bother us. Did it bother us Saturday? So little things like that, I thought was really important to do that.
Do you any need to have any kind of conversation with Curtis Jones because it is Indiana?
You know what? I don't think so because he's been at another school before us.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Since I've heard this is like the third person to ask me this, so I might have to now.
No. I just think it's a natural question. It doesn't mean you have to talk. I mean, it's his birthday today, by the way, too. So.
And it is his birthday. We all sang a big happy birthday song. I just think for Kurt, you know, he's mature. He's 23. Yeah. You know, this isn't his first rodeo. He was at Oklahoma State. Yeah, it was Archie's first year, and I'm sure he's looking to prove that, you know, he should have been starting or whatever happened there. But I think it was more about Tom Crean leaving, not really Archie. So, you know, there's loyalty, there's trust, there's things like that. So I think Curtis will be fine.
Yeah, no, I think he will be too. I don't think – it doesn't seem like a lot bothers him.
He's cool hand for sure. And I tell you what, we needed that senior in the second half against Michigan because they were going on a run, and that was a senior moment, you know, and that really – He has really stepped up in certain situations for us.
You know what bothers me is my senior moments are different than his.
All right, so. I'm not too far away from that.
Hey.
I'm not too far away.
Hey, you set me up perfectly on that. So
no, I definitely dropped the dime there.
That's good.
Hey, Steve, you know we need some fans here tomorrow
night.
I know
sure
it's
a
late game.
Yeah, it's 8:30. You know?
It's 8:30. You know, we're ranked, playing Indiana, going for our third in a row. Our home court advantage has been off the charts. I get it. It's past my bedtime, too. But, you know, Lamar and Mike only have, and Curtis, for that matter, and Grant, they only have 5 or 6 home games left. So if you want to see one of the best front courts in the country, one or two more times before we finish here, it'd be great if you guys got to get out tomorrow night.
It's something on Thursday night I brought up to start the show Thursday night before you came on. You were out recruiting, and that is about the quad one wins, but I didn't mention the quad twos. And you know, between the two of them, you'd have 8 going into this. Again, this is the kind of schedule you're facing, Patrick. That's why, like, your home games in a game like this become even more important, because there's a domino effect to it.
Yeah, gotta win your home games. Got to take care of your home base. Fans could really help that. It gave us the energy and the juice in a few games already this year. They were electric against Ohio State. But, yeah, you got to take care of your home games. They're incredibly important. We got back to level ground with a big Michigan road victory because we gave one away against Wisconsin.
Right.
And I don't want to put too much pressure on our guys because there's a ton of basketball left. And we have put ourselves in great position to be successful. You know, with, you just mentioned quad one and quad two wins. We have a bunch of them. I believe we're still third, and Steve, you would know that more.
Third.
I think
it's
Kansas, Seton Hall, then us as far as quad one.
Yep.
I mean, I didn't even get past quad one because that's all I'm looking at. And then, you know, there's been some great quad two wins.
Yep.
So we have put ourselves in position. This is a really good team. We'd love if everybody came out and supported and helped us tomorrow night.
Which then brings us to one final question, and it's about the crowd. What did they mean to what you did against Ohio State in your last home game?
Yeah, it was huge. the energy that you needed to keep it going. When Ohio State goes on some mini runs there and we're able to punch back or fight back and, you know, 14,000 plus get back into it, and the BJC gets loud. It gets really loud during those runs, and that's why we're able to beat Ohio State by a significant amount because, look, we played well. We defended. We rebounded. We played tough. We played physical. We made winning plays. And, oh, by the way, we did score the ball, but the extra juice that came from the crowd was huge.
Hey, I'll see you tonight. Thanks.
I'll see you, buddy. Thanks.
All right, great to have you with us. Game tomorrow night at 8:30. 8 o'clock will be the airtime. When is our next Shikellamy basketball game? They have to be. Their season has to be winding down, right, Matt?
We got about another couple weeks to go still. We're starting. Okay. We're definitely in the second half of the season now.
Well, no, because the other night I was watching the news, they were talking about State High. It may have been the girls' team, I think. They were talking about it was senior night. I'm like, senior night?
But yeah, we're playoffs, not there yet. I mean, Shikellamy's got a whole other month yet.
Okay, another month to go? Okay.
Yeah, they will be they're at Central Mountain tomorrow night, so we're probably going to join your broadcast already in progress after Shikellamy's done, I'm guessing.
Yeah, okay.
We got a 7:06 airtime, 7:30 tip-off. You guys are on the air at 8, tip-off at 8:30, so my guess is we're going to be joining
game,
you guys.
That,
yeah.
That game will be over by the time 8. I mean, the high school game goes fast. It's only 32.
We might get in on time then.
It's only 32 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that'll be tomorrow. How are they playing, by the way? Excuse my ignorance, but I'm not, and no offense, I'm not sitting here in State College following Shikellamy basketball.
They've had an up and down year. I think they're 10-12 right now. They're on the outside looking in for the district playoffs. So I think they have a chance to win tomorrow night, and then we'll see what happens after that.
No, I asked you how the team was doing. I didn't ask you how the play-by-play guy was doing. Just having an up and down year. Oh. Oh, I hate that guy. So what, they're a couple games under 500?
Yeah, 10-12, I believe, heading into tomorrow night.
Okay. All right. All right. That's okay. I mean, because, you know, high school playoffs are pretty much like, you know, like T-ball, everybody makes the playoffs. can't stand that guy. I talked about this in the football playoffs, and I mean it. Right? At some point, you've got to do some sort of weeding out process where not everybody makes it. I mean, I've used the example here in football before. I remember one year, like, there just aren't that many. At this point, this was when there were four classifications. So in this area here, there just aren't many Quad A teams. Okay. So State College is obviously a Quad A school. They built a new high school here. And Jack and Joanne Hamm were driving down Westerly Parkway. And Joanne comes up to me. She says, I looked at Jack. I said, that's the high school? Look at the size of that place. I said, yeah, that's the high school. And I said, I voted no on it, but that's all right. It's a different story. The school here is huge. Well, one year they're getting the playoffs. And Mifflin County is another Quad A school. And Mifflin County made the playoffs. They had one win. One. Really? I don't know. Yeah, I realize you're fighting to find spots and so forth, but there are too many teams making it. And that is the same. It's the same in a lot of areas right now. I mean, I think they got to figure out a different way of doing it. To me, you got to be 500 or better to make it. And once you're 500 or better, okay, fine, you're in. Now you can start seeding teams and have a tournament and base that around that, not that you have X amount of spots available. Yeah. Oh, well. I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert on state high school sports. I just take it from a common sense point of view. Common sense tells me if you are, let's just pick basketball, just use a 20-game model. If you're 8-12, you don't go. If you're in high school football and you are a 4-6 team, you don't go. Pretty simple. And no offense, but I will say it straight out. You didn't earn it. Being handed stuff is not the way to go. There is a satisfaction in earning something. Look at Matt, he's earned everything. I, on the other hand, have been handed everything. Look how we turned out. Everybody likes Matt. Especially the people taking his money at Disney. What? Oh, well. I don't know how you view it, because you're on high school sports more than I am.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I don't like to see teams under 500 get in either. But I also get, especially now, it's more complicated with the 6 classifications, that sometimes you just don't get enough teams to qualify to have an actual tournament. And there are some, like in football, that go straight to a championship game.
And guess what? I have an answer for that. Tough. That's the way it is.
I basically agree with that.
I mean,
because you even
qualified.
Have teams here
Tough.
That opt out of the playoffs because they know that they're going to get crushed or they just have no interest mm-hmm. with that at the
right.
losing record.
Shikalimi did that 2 years ago.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. And it was the right decision to make. You didn't earn it.
Or the one thing, I mean, it's one thing not to, if you want to try to get enough just to have a tournament, and I wouldn't necessarily agree with that either, but then there's another thing where you want to get an even amount of teams for a tournament so you don't have to give away buys.
I mean, to me, you just sit there and go, look, okay, who qualified? And then you put the tournament together.
Exactly. And if you have to give away buys, then, hey, they earned it, and that's just the way it popped out. Right.
If 3 qualify, 2 play, 1 gets a bye, waits for you, then they play. I just, you know, same thing in the high school basketball.
I've also thought, too, that, and this really goes for any sport on any level, really, but especially with high school, in most districts, and especially when you get to the PIAA playoffs, most games are Tuesday, and then you don't play again until Saturday.
Yeah.
I feel like you can... We can kind of cut down the amount of days we have in between games, and that's because that's a big reason why they're so long, too.
Well, you know, that's part of it. You also have to have gym availability.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm sure that does play a factor into that, but I think there's too many times, too many days in between games.
Yeah, no. Well, that's their version of load management.
Oh, jeez.
No?
I guess in a way, but coaches are the only difference here is coaches aren't sitting players like NBA coaches are.
I'm just joking. All right, more in a moment. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Our thanks to Patrick Chambers for being on the show today. Tomorrow, Penn State takes on Indiana. Following the Shikellamy Jersey Shore basketball game tomorrow, featuring the Chief and the Biffer.
And actually, I just heard from the Chief. Shikellamy is actually 7-10 heading into tomorrow night at Central Mountain. And also, there's one caveat. You know, we're talking about how this is kind of complicated getting teams into playoffs and things like that. With Shikellamy, because they're 5A in basketball, they have to qualify by the District 11 rules because they have to go there to play in the district playoffs since they're the only 5A school, I think, around here. So because they're 7-10, they have to win four out of their last five to get into the district playoffs there, or else they can't get in, because District 11's pretty they're pretty strict about having a 500 team or better.
So District 11 sounds like something that the suit would complain about.
Well, at least about the drive.
He complains about going across the hall. No, I had to get up. I had to walk. Huh? What? You know how it is. Oh, goodness gracious. I don't even know where District 11 is. Is it even close? Do you know? Because, I mean, I know where District 4 is.
Correct.
But where's District 11?
Oh, District 11 is East PA. So that's Northampton, a little bit of Schuylkill County, Lehigh, Carbon, Monroe, Pike.
Oh, okay.
Northeast PA, basically. That was a district that I played in when I was growing up.
You're legendary, aren't you?
Maybe.
Like I said, you're in the parking lot. Yeah. You can hear the crack of that bat in the parking lot. I'll bet if my buddy Dick in Milton was with me, he'd be saying the same thing. Ah, Steve, I can hear Cotrello right now swinging the bat. Dick, how are you?
I'm fine. I was wanted to make a quick comment. District 11 is a lot of big AAA schools in wrestling. The Bethlehem, Allentown, that whole area down through there. It's a really pretty much large school district. Irrespective of that, what I wanted to tell you, the elephant in the room with this whole thing about the playoffs is the money, the revenue. The more teams, the more revenue they make. And it's kind of like about buying a hunting license or anything else. They got to have revenue.
Always. It's always the money.
That's why they're never going to cut schools out if they can help it.
Yeah. I'm taking mine from a common sense point of view. Like, what did you earn and what didn't you earn? All right, we have X amount. I mean, and you're right, Dick. It is all about who can peel the paper.
A lot of what it is. If that wasn't the case, why would they have gone from four districts to six districts? Because they have that many more teams playing than Hershey, two extra things in basketball and football, and that many more games in Hershey or wherever the basketball is played. To say maybe Hershey, I don't know. Used to be at State College, all over the place, I guess, State College or wherever. But my point being is that you get that many more extra teams, you make that much more money. Thank God wrestling stayed with two yet. Only has double A and single A and double A and then triple A and triple A and 4A. So there's only two divisions in wrestling, six in everything else, literally. Baseball, it doesn't matter what it is, soccer, girls and guys. Yeah. That's a lot of extra teams going and providing money for the PIAA.
No question. And see, that's why when I talked about the six classifications, that's why I talked about, look, keep the six, except make it the old A through quad A, and take the other two, and that's where you put the charter schools and you put the Catholic schools, and divide those up into small and large. I mean, that's, to me, where the extra classification should be. Everything else should go back the way it was, just with public schools.
I don't disagree with you, but that's never going to happen as long as they need the revenue. I guess that's my point. And I only had one other question for you. I saw today where Penn State has a freshman from Virginia. They're looking at to come in and just like a five-star recruit football, 6'5", 200, I don't know, 50-pound defensive whatever. And I saw that they were bringing him into State College to look at the school. That's not normal for Penn State to bring a freshman in, is it? High school freshman.
Well, I can't comment on. I'm not allowed to.
I don't want you to comment on the kid, but yeah. I just comment. Just seems abnormal for Penn State to bring kids in that young. I mean, I see that in schools. Like, I saw Kentucky bring a fresh, an eighth or seventh or eighth grader in basketball one time. It just seems absurd to me after a while.
I think the way recruiting is now, everybody feels you've got to get in early. And if you don't get in early, somebody else gets in early. And you know how it goes, Dick, that old merry-go-round. If I don't get in early, you're going to get early.
But what they'll be doing here pretty soon is you'll have an unbelievable football professional guy and his wife are great athletes. They'll be in they'll be at the hospital when the baby's born. I guess that's my point. I'm going to let you go. It's all about money, and I'm to let it go at that. I know they need the revenue, and they drag everybody along whether they deserve to be there or not.
It's not good when they tell you that Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney are in the waiting room.
Well, you might not agree with this, but I still think there's too many football bowl games. Some teams don't deserve to go every once in a while, I basically don't think basically teams play 500, and they have 100. It just seems like they're, how many, 40, 30, 60? I don't even, there's too many to me.
They're going to add three more next year. They're going to get to 42. And all this is done for TV programming, all right? So, I mean, it's one of those where it comes to that, I completely understand where you're coming from, completely. My attitude about bowl games has always been like, if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. Because I know I'll end up sitting there on a free night. Yes, every once in a while, Dick, I get one of those. And I'll sit there and go, I'll watch that because it's better than the alternative.
Well, the NCAA is kind of like the PIAA. It's all about money in a sense. So I'm going to let you go at that. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Let's see. Who gets bowl games next year? I think getting bowl games next year will be Myrtle Beach, then the Fenway Bowl at Fenway Park, and I believe the new Los Angeles Stadium at Hollywood Park is getting a bowl game. Yeah. I mean, Dick's right. There's going to be 42 of them next year. That's 84 teams. Now, this year, 79 schools were 500 or better. Now, to get to 42, guess what you have to do? You have to have 84 teams. This year they were one over, so there were no under 500 teams this year. I think the 42 includes the championship game, so there would be 41 where you need. That's 82. This year one was left out that was 500 or better. One. So that means this year you'd have five under 500 schools in there. Ugh. Unreal. I mean, I love Fenway Park. Love it. Love going there. Been there the number of times, the long, long list of games I've gone to at Fenway Park. But to be honest with you, do I want to sit there in December when it's cold in Fenway Park?
Yeah, trying to copycat the Pinstripe Bowl.
Right, well, that's exactly what they're doing.
Now Boston of them.
Yes. In fact, they give you tours of Fenway Park. They even show you the video room. All right.
You sure you don't do that at Minute Maid Park either?
Ah, thank you very much. I'm back for the 7 o'clock show. Yeah. I'm a Red Sox fan, too. Remember that. Yeah, I can make fun of it.
I give you credit.
Although I always make one quick note about that. All right? You know, Yankee fans, oh, yes, okay. You know, Dodger fans, okay, I got it. You do know you don't have the same kind of deal going on the road, correct?
Oh, you know, I get that, yeah.
Right? Yeah, in other words, like when the Red Sox won, oh, wait a minute, they went to Yankee Stadium and swept them in, you know, the two in Yankee Stadium. Okay. Then they went to Houston and they won all three games, and then they took two out of three in Los Angeles. So on the road, when they don't have, quote, all the advantages in the playoffs that particular year, the Red Sox went 7-1. Yeah, that's pretty good. Must be a pretty good team at that point.
And I'm not even one of those Yankee fans or Dodger fans that are advocating the Astros and the Red Sox be stripped of their World Series titles, because it's just like when we have all the scandals happen in college football and college basketball. Well, what's been done is done. You can't rewrite history, in my opinion, at least. I just think stripping titles is stupid.
Yeah. I've always felt that. Well, no offense, but Dick and I were at Michigan last week, and we're looking up at the banners up there. And, of course, they don't have the two Fab Five banners up there. The two Fab Five banners are actually in the archive section of the library, rolled up. Excuse me, everybody watch them play, okay? It doesn't exist. Ooh, really? I'll never forget when they pulled that with Penn State about stripping wins. They eventually brought the wins back. Ohio State does something really weird. Really. In fact, this topic came up last night, because Rose Carter from Sports Information was asking about, you know, how do I put down the Ohio State thing? I'm trying to research things, because guess what Ohio State did? When Ohio State got stripped, they docked everything, including the losses. And I told her, I said, I remember going in there a few years ago to do a game, and I just wanted to look up when's the last time. I just want to make sure I had the date right, as the last time Penn State won. And it was showing like 1998. I said, what the heck are they talking about? I had said something about Penn State's never won at Value City Arena. The last one was in 1998 at St. John Arena, last game at St. John. I'm sitting like going, I know I've done wins in this building. What are you talking about? Tyler Smith on the wing hitting a three. Penn State goes up 78-75, wins the game. Then you go through the record book, you realize they stripped out all the games. Really?
Exactly. It's just...
So what they did was that they stripped out all the games, then they did the same thing in football. And, of course, at this point, Penn State was in that area of where they had stripped Joe of his wins. He was down to 298 or whatever the ridiculous number was. Right before they then restored it because they knew they were wrong. And I called up Paul Keels and I said, hey, Paul, who's the Ohio State play-by-play guy? I said, hey, Paul. He says, yeah. I said, remember that game you and I did in 2010? He says, yeah. He said, the game that took place in Beaver Stadium? He says, yeah. Or no, it was actually at Ohio State. I said, the game at Ohio State? He goes, yeah. He says, according to the NCAA, I said, it was a mirage. Hey, come on. We live in a weird world, man.
You got that right.
A weird world. And all you got to do is go to that corner office and realize it's getting weirder by the minute. be back. Close it out in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. And wow, did you want to have a fun day in 2019? Sunbury Motors increased their year-over-year new Hyundai sales by a whopping 70%. Customers near and far are noticing the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 2020 Hyundai Tucson's have a discount of over $4,000. New Tucson start at $22,863 with 25 in stock. Sunbury Motors has 12 2020 Hyundai Kona in stock starting at $22,585. Save up to $28,35 on your next new Kona. 70% increase in sales is huge, and so are the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Choose from 20 Hyundai Santa Fe's with savings up to $45,71. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Hyundai to see how they increase sales by 70%. Sunbury Motors. In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
All tragedies in one form or another end up being personal. And we'll give you one right now. Tim Pavlechko, who's done such great work over the years for Bucknell, lost his father, I believe, on Friday, Ron Pavlechko. Ron played on the 68-69 undefeated Penn State football team, so he's a teammate of Jack Ham's. Ron was only 71. He then went on, and as an educator, was also the head football coach at State High, then the athletic director at State High. He was a terrific football coach. He was a terrific athletic director, and even better than that, he was a great guy. When I first started doing play-by-play high school football back in 1980, I did State College area high school football. And from 1980 to 1989, I did State High football. The coach I worked with every single year was Ron Pavlechko. For a young broadcaster, you could not have been handed a better person to be working around than Ron Pavlechko. Someone passionate about football, cared about the game, cared about all sports, did a lot of great work with the National Football Foundation, the local chapter here. His wife, Barb, is somebody I think is just great. Tim's terrific, the entire Pavlechko family. So from all of us to especially Tim, our deepest, deepest condolences. They'll be viewing for him at Koch Funeral Home here in State College on Friday, and then a service for him at Our Lady of Victory Church on Saturday. Unfortunately, because of my schedule, I won't be able to be at either one because we're flying to Nebraska Friday, and we have a game Saturday in Lincoln. So my deepest, deepest condolences to an absolutely terrific family that had a great patriarch in Ron Pavlechko who passed away. Ron was just 71. Just 71. Good, good man. Great pro, you know, and just a good person.
And also, too, Steve, Big Al Yurick of Bucknell men's basketball passed away yesterday, too.
Wow.
It's been a tough week for Bucknell.
Yeah, very tough. But we want to at least pass along our condolences. So.
Yes, I do the same.
Yeah. Okay. we have got a lot coming up tomorrow, including Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star talking about Indiana basketball. That'll be on tomorrow. Neil Coulong will talk. Now, believe it or not, we're not going to just talk about the Super Bowl. Believe it or not, okay, I'm going to talk to him about the Pro Bowl. And you want to know why we're going to talk about the Pro Bowl?
Why is that?
Because of you.
I'm touched.
You might as well get a read on the Pro Bowl from Neil Coulon. Then we'll go to the Super Bowl.
But well, I look forward to that.
Because of you, we will delve into an area of virtually no interest to the audience at all. But you love him.
I do. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
It's going to be interesting to see what the... it's going to be very interesting to see what the ratings were for. Because the rating for a year ago... The rating for a year ago was 5.4. Which was actually higher than the deciding game of the Yankees-Astros series. Today's show has been brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.